Welcome to the Paranet Continuum, a weekly program dealing with extraordinary claims of the paranormal on Earth and beyond. Whether or not you believe in the paranormal, the controversies are real, and this program will try to get to the bottom of it. Your host is Michael Corbin, Director of Paranet Information Services, a global communications network based near Denver, Colorado, dedicated to the investigation of parapsychology, futuristic science, and the UFO enigma. We invite you to keep an open mind as we discuss some of the most fascinating and strange subjects around. Now here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And good evening. Tonight's program is the beginning of an ongoing series which will be aired periodically throughout the year. It is Paranet's Blast to the Past. Now, what does that mean? Well, I felt it was very important to take all of you on a trip back in the time machine of UFOs, if you will, to give you some idea of what has led us to the present day. Despite what you might think, there has been a very colorful and intense history associated with the phenomena for over the last 50 years or so. My guest tonight is going to be Ralph Bloom, who wrote a book in 1974 titled Beyond Earth, Man's Contact with UFOs. Ralph's going to join us tonight to remember a very famous case that occurred on October 11th, 1973 in Pascagoula, Mississippi, when two fishermen, Calvin Parker and Charles Hickson, saw a light come out of the sky and land near them on the shore. Two beings came out of that UFO and abducted them, and that took them on board and performed an examination that frightened young Parker so badly that he eventually suffered a mental breakdown which required hospitalization. This case was extensively investigated and reported, and the results were inconclusive. My goal with Paranet's Blast to the Past is to educate and inform you that there are cases in the record that are substantial, that have never been adequately explained. My other motivation for this is to also demonstrate the exhaustive methods that were applied to these investigations from the past. It is my learned opinion that we don't apply the same rigorous methodology to today's investigations of the UFO enigma. Most of the cases that will be selected for our Blast to the Past series will be cases that have credible witnesses and are supported by additional evidence such as radar tracks or multiple witnesses. These types of cases make the best because it is not necessary to rely on a single witness and provides more data elements that can be checked. Now, the following sound clip demonstrates that science does have a place in the investigation and research of the possibility that we are being visited by extraterrestrials. This has been taken from a video called UFOs, The Hidden Truth. We're going to hear several prestigious scientists discussing the results of their research at a symposium in Boston University in 1974. You're going to hear the voices of none other than Dr. Carl Sagan, a famed astronomer, George Wald, 1971 Nobel Prize winner for his research in physiology, Professor Philip Morrison of MIT, who wrote a paper on possible modes of communication with extraterrestrials, Ashley Montague, a famous anthropologist, and Richard Berenson, who was teaching a course on the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. Here they are.
The most optimistic estimates, in the view of many, about the number of civilizations that there might be in the galaxy is of the order of a million, which means that only one in a few hundred thousand stars has such a civilization.
And that would mean billions such places just in our own galaxy that might contain life.
As I believe, there's a society of these groups, not just one. There are probably very many. There's only one. We have no hope of finding him. There are probably thousands, maybe as many as a million.
When we speak of life beyond Earth, what we generally mean is, of course, intelligent life, something resembling our noble selves. It is highly probable that there are such intelligent forms of life in other galaxies in the universe. And it is even more probable that many of these forms are vastly more intelligent than we.
I'd like to quote a short passage from a recent report of the Astronomy Survey Committee of the prestigious and august National Academy of Sciences of the United States, probably the nation's most distinguished scientific body. This was printed in May of this year. Quote, "Each passing year has seen our estimate of the probability of life in space increase, along with our capabilities of detecting it. More and more scientists feel that contact with other civilizations is no longer something beyond our dreams, but is a natural event in the history of mankind.
Now, as you've just heard, the question of whether life exists elsewhere in the universe deserves serious attention. But what led to this? As you will hear in our next clip, it was cases like the July 1952 overflight of our nation's capital that got really serious attention from the military and government. Peter Leahy reports from UFO's The Hidden Truth.
On the evening of July 19, 1952, Senior Air Controller Harry G. Barnes at National Airport in Washington, D.C., picked up seven slow-moving objects on his radar scope. He called Andrews Air Force Base and learned that they were seeing the identical blips on their radar. A pair of F-94 Air Force jets were soon searching the skies over Washington, where they found nothing. As soon as the jets departed, the blips reappeared on radar screens and remained there until daybreak. A week later, Harry Barnes picked up 10 more objects on radar. Andrews Air Force Base confirmed that the same unknown objects were on their radar scopes as well. Barnes called the Pentagon, and another pair of jets came howling over Washington. But now the UFOs remained visible on the screens, and one of the jet fighters reported a visual sighting of four lights. At one point, the pilot radioed that the lights were surrounding his plane. But soon the UFOs sped away and disappeared into the night. Later that morning, Harry Barnes made this statement, quote, "There is no other conclusion that I can reach but that for 6 hours on the morning of the 26th of July, there were at least 10 unidentifiable objects moving above Washington. They were not ordinary aircraft, nor, in my opinion, could any natural phenomena account for these spots on our radar," end quote. The Pentagon was inundated with questions from the press, and President Harry Truman asked Secretary of Defense Forrestal to find out what in the world, or out of it, was going on. On October 27, 1952, the FBI issued this memorandum. Air intelligence still feels flying saucers are optical illusions, or atmospherical phenomena. But some military officials are seriously considering the possibility of interplanetary ships.
Now, that was just a sampling of the many interesting and unsolved UFO cases that we're going to talk about over the course of the series. I was prompted, really, to do this series because I've been going over a lot of the older material that I have in my files, and one of the research specialties that I've had has been the history of the modern UFO phenomena. And it's when I read books like Ralph Bloom's book, Beyond Earth, Man's Contact with UFOs, that you get a sense for, you know, the quality of the reports that we used to get years ago. And I see that there's been a serious degeneration in the quality of the reports over the reports that we get today. Although we still get reports like this. But again, you know, we're looking for quality reports and things that can be checked scientifically. And everything we get today is tabloid and it has no basis in evidence. It was this book that I'm going to be talking about tonight with my guest is called Beyond Earth, Man's Contact with UFOs. And I found this book in a used bookstore. It was published in 1974, and it details one man's investigation that covered the famous unsolved Pascagoula, Mississippi abduction case of Charles Hickson and Calvin Parker, as I mentioned earlier. Again, I found this book very refreshing and informative, as it also takes many things that were going on in the 70s and presents them in a very responsible fashion. My guest tonight is the distinguished author of numerous books, including this 1974 publication. Ralph Bloom was born in 1932 and was educated at Harvard and the University of Leningrad. He was awarded Fulbright, Ford, and National Science Foundation grants for various work that he has done. It is my pleasure to welcome Ralph Bloom to the program tonight. Good evening, Ralph.
Good evening. Nice to be with you.
Yes, thank you for being on the program.
Well, it's a pleasure, Michael.
I guess the thing I want to start with here is how did you get involved in the UFO research that led to the publication of your book?
For some reason, and you know the way things happen, you look back and you see the pattern from behind. It's always a nice way to see how you got there. I had been contacted in the spring of that year, of 1973, by Cosmopolitan, who wanted me to do a piece for them on UFOs. I had just short of zero interest in UFOs at that point. So that really started me thinking, and so I had from February till September, really, to learn a bit about what had happened, so that finally I'd picked up enough that I went to an old friend of mine called Fred Freed, who did white papers for NBC in those days, The Decision to Drop the Bomb, Pollution is a Matter of Choice, the big produced looks at America's problems and its moral dilemmas. And I said, Fred, something's going on. Why don't you get us some money? Let's take a look at it. And so I started giving him information. So he got in touch with Hynek and, you know, no, but 73, mind you, there's a cyclical form to this. And if you've been around long enough, you begin to see how it ranges. Come back to that cycle business, because it's really helpful in this wonderful idea of your series, Michael. I think it's extremely useful, because one thing the old hands at this have noticed is that the information keeps coming around in a kind of loop, and the information is interchangeable. There's more abductees coming out. There's less of this. I spend a lot of time with John Mack, sort of time just talking together as friends, and I've watched what's happened with his efforts, and one of the big things that I want to talk about tonight is individuals versus institutions, because there are certain key things for people who are interested in this to pay attention to, and I want to say something about that, and also something about the loops and cycles.
Okay, well, hold that thought. We're going to go to our first break, and when we come
you
back,
bet.
We'll get into that. And again, Ralph Bloom is my guest. We're talking about his book, Beyond Earth, Man's Contact with UFOs. Stay tuned. Get your pencils out. We're going to give away an important number and a T-shirt giveaway coming up next, and we'll be back in just a moment. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet Continuum. Paranet wants to hear from you tonight, and we want to give away a T-shirt. We're going to do this a little different than we have given away T-shirts before. If you're hearing us live between 7 and 8 Mountain Time, we invite you to call all during the hour at 1-800-836-2009 and give us your name and address. If you're catching us later on a tape delay, call us during the week at 1-800-836-NET1. That's 1-800-836-6381. And leave us your name and address. Or you can write to us and send a postcard to the Paranet Continuum, Post Office Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. That's Post Office Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. Now, we're going to draw from all these names next week for a free Paranet T-shirt. It's the same T-shirt you've heard us advertising before. They're 100% cotton, black T-shirts with galaxies, stars, comets, and the Paranet logo, and a beautiful blue-green and white planet Earth. Call us now, call us later, or write us for a free T-shirt from Paranet, and tune in next week to find out if you're the winner.
Pilots depend on accurate, timely information, both in the cockpit and on the ground. Skyway Publications helps with both. The Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide provides convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that cater to pilots. These are free, pocket-sized guides with information on large and small airports nationwide, along with technical information, fuel and airport services, and businesses that can make life easier for pilots. Keep in mind, it's free. Check your local airport for the Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide, or call area 970-669-1800. Call Skyway today and find out how the guide can also be a financial opportunity for you. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Check your local airport or call Skyway at 970-669-1800.
Corbin.
And once again, joining us on our Paranet's Blast to the Past is my guest in California, Ralph Bloom. Welcome back, Ralph.
Thank you, Michael. I just didn't finish quite what I was saying. So I'd gotten in touch with Fred Fried, and I was presenting the case for looking at this stuff as a white paper. That meant giving it real credibility, because if it comes through as a white paper from NBC, people are listening. Now, this is, remember, 73. We're sitting around in his office when Alan Hynek calls up to make an appointment to come in. I'm there to meet Hynek. It was our first meeting. And while we're there, Hynek announces to us that he's on his way to Pascagoula, where something happened last night. Last night. So Fred and I looked at each other. I went and got a ticket, went to Pascagoula with Alan. Fred, meanwhile, got $37,000 for an investigatory look, just to get a camera crew down there and do 3 days of shooting. And we trooped into Pascagoula, where everybody was in shock. So Fred and I are ideal people to deal with this, because I don't care, and he's an investigative reporter of a major kind.
You're just there as an impartial observer.
I'm there because I'm an anthropologist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trained in listening and looking, and I have no vested interest. I have great friends like John Keel and Ted Blocher, who was almost driven mad. He just had to retire from the business, and he was an extremely immaculate researcher. He just couldn't take it. Fred wrote, no one's seen this except it's in my little book. His whole view of a program said this, watch the style. Something happened in the U.S. in the fall of 1973, in the midst of Watergate, Agnew, the Middle East War, the energy crisis. People began to see things in the sky, to have strange experiences with them. There were reports, numbers. This had happened before, in 1947, etc. Could be taken as a joke, but it was not a joke, or a hoax, or seemingly mass hallucination. Many things could not be explained that were experienced by rational, solid, reliable people. It is not clear what they experienced. It is clear they experienced something. This is a report on that phenomenon which occurred in America in the fall of 1973.
Very powerful statement. And again, that starts the beginning of the book.
Yep.
Yeah.
It also would have... Well, we got 2 days in, and suddenly the White House, the night of the long assassins, took place. And, you know, Richardson and that group and the whole NBC team was pulled away, and I was left in Pascagoula. And I guess the most interesting thing, we had two good old boys, you know, the typical kind of hitchhiker that's picked up by whoever picks these guys up. And the most interesting thing from that whole experience was when Charlie and Calvin were left alone in the sheriff's office, and the sheriff had bugged the office. So they left them alone to see what they'd say. And they start talking over what happened to them, reviewing. Calvin was the young one, saying things like, I passed out. I never passed out in my whole life. And Charlie saying, I never seen anything like that in my life. You can't make these people believe. I don't want to keep sitting here. I want to see a doctor. And Calvin starts talking about what happened to him in that situation. He says, you know, that damn door just come right up. And Charlie says, I don't know how it opened, son. I don't know. It just laid up there, and like those little son bitches, they came right out. I know. You can't believe it. You can't make people believe it. I paralyzed right then. I couldn't move. They won't believe it. You know I don't drink. And finally, Calvin says, it's so hard to believe. Oh, God, it's awful. I know there's a God up there. And then he started to pray. Now, this was unsolicited, and it was, you know, illegally obtained by the local law enforcement. So what have we got there? We have only that information which Sagan and the others were so good at manipulating and then dealing with. Here are two people whose lives will be changed forever. Now, there was one thing that happened in that town that I never reported on. Judge, clerk of courts, stenographer, and a bailiff were going out after they'd left the office. And they were traveling out of Pascagoula into the countryside, and one of them looks and says, holy smoke, what is that? And they look up, and there's a UFO, whatever that means, and only two of the people in the car can see it.
Only two of the people in the car?
Only two could see it. Now, that's another whole strand of selectivity, which really hasn't been investigated too strongly in this area. Or this little old woman I interviewed down in Abilene, she says, I know it was a UFO, Sonny. I said, how do you know, ma'am? She said, because, darn it, it said UFO on the bottom. Now, here's an old lady who's no fool.
Yeah.
That's obviously something only a fool would say if they were lying.
Right.
So then I look at that, and then I look back at, I'm talking perspective for the moment. I look back to 1881 at about 4 a.m., June 11th, while cruising between Melbourne and Sydney, two sons of the Prince of Wales on board a ship called the Bacchante saw a flying object, which they described later as a fully illuminated ship.
There's a lot of that stuff
okay.
that goes back.
Well, that's what their culture gave them to look at. They didn't have discs yet, mm-hmm. so they saw a flying ship. Then let's throw in the bit about getting everyone to call these things UFOs. Flying saucers is much more straightforward and better for the subconscious to hear, because a UFO is saying to the subconscious, this thing is an unidentified flying object. So in neurolinguistic terms, you've got a manipulative trick right in the name. The whole thing's fascinating. While I was waiting to come on air, and then I'll stop babbling, I got a call from a man who spent 20 years as an, I won't tell you his branch of service, but he was at the rank of a colonel. And one of his jobs was to investigate all woo-woo, new age, and paraphenomenal experiences. He used to give spoon-bending parties, teaching people how to bend spoons.
Mm-hmm.
And he was involved with it all, and he's still involved with whatever is now the case. And I said to him, I'm about to go do this program. What's the government think? And he said, the government? The government doesn't give a hoot. He said, you've got to remember to distinguish between individuals and institutions. The individuals, they care, but they don't vote as a block. I mean, the abductee block,
right.
The crop circle block. So this is all public albatross stuff. He said only Schiff from New Mexico has paid any attention in Congress.
Wow. Hold that thought.
Yep.
We're going to go to another break. When we come back, I want to get more into your thoughts about what you observed during your investigation. And I want to remind everybody out there to be sure and call us at 1-800-836-2009 to speak to my guest, Ralph Bloom, or give us a call for a T-shirt giveaway, which we're going to give away next week. 1-800-836-2009. You're listening to the Paranet Continuum. I'm Michael Corbin, and we'll be right back.
There are many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the official quarterly publication of Paranet and MICAP, and is the outgrowth of Paranet's worldwide communications network on paranormal phenomena. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. It takes a straight-ahead, no-nonsense look at UFOs, worldwide sighting reports, parapsychology, abduction phenomena, futuristic science, and much, much more. You can get Continuum for just $18 a year. Continuum is also available by fax for a small additional fee. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Continuum, published by Paranet Information Services and MICAP. Order yours today at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. Continuum, one of the most fascinating magazines you'll ever read.
Grab a pen and get ready to copy down a computer address. It's an email address where you can reach the Paranet Information Services BBS through America Online. With America Online's Internet Gateway, you can send us mail and we can respond to you personally through your America Online screen name. With America Online's Usenet newsgroup tie-in, you can also access the 7 Paranet newsgroups dealing with UFOs, metaphysics, paranormal activity, and others. Learn about our upcoming shows and pose questions in advance. And if your question is selected, you'll get a free cassette copy of the show. You'll also find summaries of past shows. If you're not already a customer of America Online, call 1-800-827-6364 for more information. Now, here's that email address to reach us. It's paranet@aol.com or paranet@paranet.org. America Online and Paranet, a winning combination.
mysteries of the paranormal, UFOs, future science, parapsychology, angelic phenomena, ghosts, secret projects, government cover-ups, hoaxes, and frauds. We cover it all on the Paranet Continuum. Now back to your host, Michael Corbin.
And joining me from California is my guest tonight, Ralph Bloom, who is the author of a book published in 1974, Beyond Earth, Man's Contact with UFOs. Very, very interesting guest, and I want to compliment you, Ralph. You're very very articulate, and enjoy this discussion.
This is like a debriefing. We've got only so much time. I'm not really even interested in the questions people have to ask, because what I'd like to do is share I haven't thought about this stuff till you called me, Michael, in almost 20 years, and it looks like I'm in for it again. I've been working with the oracular tradition. I did a book called The Book of Runes, which I heard from my publishers has just sold 900,000 sets.
Wow.
It's an old technique of the Vikings for getting in touch with the gods or with the unconscious. So I've been looking at how does the oracular work. You know, if you touch the wrong wire, whole church groups will come at you like hornets, as though, you know, prophecy was only to be done in Old Testament times. Well, let me tell you, there's a lot of prophetic stuff coming on right now. The electronic business, I've talked to a number of people who are doing major research in things that appear in electronic situations which weren't invited. So that's going on. These crop circles, which no one has seen one yet, you know, and all it takes is two guys from a bar to do one hoax, and that gives
the bottom falls
material
out.
Sure. To attack it. Uh-huh. But it's still the most elegant thing happening on the planet. I mean, abduction is just unpleasant and could be movie stuff and unpleasant for the people who've gone through it. But these crop circles are immaculate. I advise everybody listening to your show to get a picture of a crop circle, put it up on your mirror while you shave or do your face lotion, and let it enter you. Because what I've found working with oracular symbols, there are only so many symbols that exist. My wife has just found out, as far as she's concerned, that the runes, which are thought to be Viking and Germanic, probably go back to China. And beyond that, they probably go back to our neurology.
Well, I think we're learning a lot about the past just from the stuff that's being discovered rapidly today.
We've got a very educated listenership and readership. And people, you know, we do represent a voting block, as my friend said. So eventually there'll be something to do. Do you know what Jung called UFOs? It's wonderful. He called them visionary rumors.
Visionary rumors.
And one of his last books was to put his reputation on the line to write about something called things seen in the sky. And there again is the scientist just saying, this is what we saw. And the only true evidence I've ever encountered, the only evidence I've been willing to trust, is the people who've had the experiences.
Did you believe Hickson and Parker?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Captain Ken Willis, who was he?
He was a pilot who was involved in his own sightings, who I think got Sagan'd at one point. Carl had this, what I call the Sagan method, which was a way of disallowing you, and I figured out what he and his group are up to now, because if you can humiliate those who are trying to touch what you have possession of, then you can keep your power. What it seems to be, and that's where I remember him being attacked by Carl, is you discredit those who threaten to open up something to make it popular or public domain while you have access to the secret.
I want to read just a little quote here in your book from Chapter 12 by Captain Ken Willis. Mm. He's describing the kind of people that see UFOs. He says, they're your basic plotter. They suffer the bad, enjoy the good, the people who made the country what it is.
Yep.
They're nothing extraordinary, nothing exceptional, just run-of-the-mill goddamn man.
Yep.
that's pretty extraordinary. Yep.
That's the kind of people who've had the experiences right back through time are the people who mend your roads, fix your chimney, sell you a car, run Little League for your kids. You know, we're pretty gullible and ready to take disinformation. We're easily humiliated, easily put off, and, you know, we just have to grow up about it and stop whining. That's why some of my friends have left the UFO business, because, as in Lenin's famous words, Shtodelet, what is to be done? Well, pay attention. Just pay attention and watch for take a look at some crop circles. Just let them enter your brain and see what you see. One of them is a very distinguished model of a mathematical equation. Stuff's going on. It's been going on for a long time, and it has cycles. We're about, by my calculations, we're about to heat up and enter another cycle. That's why I'm doing, well, I'm doing this show because you invited me to do it, and I have a rule, which is never look for work, but never turn anything down.
Right.
But Michael Kraft and I have just done our first book, and I wasn't going to have my name on the cover because I thought perhaps it might annoy people who were using runes and might think, particularly since I've just put out a new book for people in 12-step and dying people who can use the runes in their own lives. It's called The Healing Runes, Tools for the Recovery of Body, Mind, Heart, and Soul. So I was a little pretentious in my thinking that people would mind, but I'm not a one-step pony. We're doing a new book. It's time to make another commentary again by some of the old hands, just looking at it, not to give people answers, because giving people answers is just short-circuiting their own ability. You give them good data. Let them
exactly
know, trust your
exactly
data.
Sure, I agree with that fully. That's what this is. You know, that's the thing I've been saying a long time. We've got to get good data, and then we
can go
from there.
I think it's terribly important you're doing this series. Terribly useful. It's like a really good history course at Harvard or MIT. You know, give the information. Give people access. We're just about to move to Maui. In fact, I got the mortgage for a B&B yesterday, so we will be in Haiku in Maui from March onward, and our book comes out in August with St. Martin's Press. It's called Alien Impact,
which we're going to cover. By the way, we're going to get Michael Kraft on and talk to him about it too.
I mean, here again, the simplicity of it. I mean, I'm trained as an anthropologist, and I'm trained to listen, and I'm trained to keep out of it,
but
not to let my fingerprint. You know, if you dust any of the people I talk to, you wouldn't find my fingerprints on them. I did find one thing very interesting in, do you remember the Orfeo Angelucci case?
Yes.
He was a janitor, as we used to call him in the old days, instead of some kind of sanitary custodian. And one day, this guy comes into a bar and says, will you come out in the bush with me? They're in the desert. And Orfeo goes in and he says, I've come in this UFO here. And they go across and they look at it. And then the guy says to him, would you get me a soda pop? And Orfeo goes back in and buys him a soda pop. Now, there was no reason for that story to be reported and keep that. The rest of it's in the books. But I thought about that for a long time, and I worked with a man called Herb Shermer, who had a very interesting contactee experience. And when Herb was about to be pulled on board a thing, the guy driving the thing says, and you know, it went through the, Herb was a cop, and he says, you do the denial thing. I thought it was a low-flying aircraft in trouble. I thought it might, then I thought, no, it couldn't be that. I thought it might be a semi with its, you go through the elimination that any smart, and then finally you go, holy smoke. So the guy who was in this thing says to Herb, the first words out of this creature's mouth is, are you the guardian over this place?
Very interesting.
Again, so for me, these are soda pop factors. These are
sure
bits that get into the story that make me think, this guy is not lying.
Right. Okay, hold that thought again, and be sure and make sure, Ralph, that you have a ticket for me going to Maui with you.
Well, we'll be in Haiku, which is like Moku, and you're welcome.
Okay. Hold on. We'll be right back and get a little bit more into this, and very interesting. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. Give us a call. What do you think? My guest is Ralph Bloom. We're talking about a blast from the past and just kind of getting into some of the history of this stuff. And I'm sure you'll find it fascinating, as I am and we are. We'll be right back. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet Continuum.
It's been said that the pen is mightier than the sword. With Paranet, the computer and modem is mightier than the pen. Paranet is the world's foremost electronic authority on UFOs and the paranormal. Paranet gives you rapid access to UFO researchers and others like you who want to know what's going on. You'll find stimulating discussions with an interactive link to the world through the Internet's information superhighway. There's a variety of departments dealing with paranormal activities, parapsychology, alien abduction research, conspiracy theories and government cover-ups, and cutting-edge science. There's even a skeptics conference. Paranet also has the world's most comprehensive database of news articles, sighting reports, and much more available for a small fee. So plug into power and knowledge with Paranet. Call the data line at 303-863-0469. That's 303-863-0469. Or for more information, contact Paranet at 303-863-0484.
Paranet wants to hear from you tonight, and we want to give away a t-shirt to you. We're doing this a little different than the way we've given away T-shirts before. If you're hearing us live tonight between 7 and 8 Mountain Time, we're inviting you to call us at 1-800-836-2009. That's 1-800-836-2009. Give us your name and address. If you're catching us later on a tape delay, you can call us during the week at 1-800-836-NET1. That's 1-800-836-6381. And leave your name and address. Or you can write to us by sending a postcard to Paranet Continuum, Post Office Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado 80034. That's Post Office Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado 80034. Next week, we're going to draw from all these names for a free Paranet T-shirt. And it's the same T-shirt that you've heard us advertising before. They're 100% cotton, black, with galaxies, stars, comets, and the famous Paranet logo, and a beautiful blue-green planet Earth. You can call us now, or call us later, or write to us for a free T-shirt from Paranet. Now be sure and tune in next week to find out if you're the winner. This is the Paranet Continuum, where we answer questions and question answers. And we want to know what you think. Call us and stay tuned. Now back to your host, the Director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbin.
And welcome back, my fascinating guest, Ralph Bloom. We're talking about the... Well, we're actually doing a blast from the past tonight. Is
one, Michael, one thing I keep wanting to say is I also asked my informant, the guy who called from the government just by chance. He said, okay, so it's the institutions who don't care. And I mentioned the War of the Worlds broadcast. He said, yeah, well, a lot of the things that were said to happen didn't happen after that broadcast. So a mythology was created, belief occurred around the mythology, and then actions took place in the public based on the belief. And that's what we want to stop.
Yeah, but do you think that that was engineered deliberately?
No, he was giving me the mechanism from inside the government.
Yeah, okay.
Listen again. The thing took place, reports of panic took place, suicides and things which were all overstated. And around that came the mythology. People believed in the mythology and then acted out of those beliefs.
Okay.
And that's what upsets the government, so they are rigid about it.
I think you're right, too, because, you know, that was one of the big discussions in 52 at the Robertson panel.
Sure, absolutely. So don't waste your time. If you're really interested in this stuff, be wise like a fox. Be subtle. Be interested. Pay attention. Sort things out. Talk to people who have had these experiences. And just be informed. There's no answer going to be achieved in the next broadcasting season, I assure you folks.
Probably not, but I'm just curious, going back to Hickson and Parker and the related, there was a lot of things that were going on in 73. Matter of fact, 73 was noted as a year of a big flap, as a lot of people call them when they have increased sightings of UFOs. You
talk about flaps anymore?
I'm sorry, what?
Do we talk about flaps?
No, we don't seem to. We don't seem to even pay attention to them. If they even occur, we don't know. I mean, it's like the national media, the national level, doesn't seem to give it any credence like they did before in the past. I mean, the Hickson and Parker thing made national news.
Yeah, it's hard these days. The world is in fairly serious disrepair, and it's hard to get front page space when people are raping women as a form of national policy and killing, you know, heads of state. Usually it's got to be a lazy summer afternoon, and the guy in the newsroom picks it up and says, "Hey, Charlie, look what just came in from Keokuk." You know? Mm-hmm. And then we need some filler.
Have you, Ralph, had contact with either one of these guys in Pascagoula?
No, we haven't been able to find them. Tried once or twice. I hope they're living healthy lives, and I hope they've gotten over the... How do you get over something like this? And when everyone... When the assumption of your own country is that you're a liar, and no one really wants to support the fact... Carl said, well, these people certainly think something happened to them. And, you know, it's that... The pilots don't... You know, altimeters don't lie, says Carl, but the people who read them do.
Well, sure.
You know? Such... I think Carl's going to... If there's reincarnation, Carl coming back as a bootstrap. You know? Such a dickhead.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know. I mean, I'm old enough now to think we are dealing with an aspect of cultural history. That's what this is. And the culture dictates... I have a concept I call selective inattention. We are trained to pay attention to certain things and ignore others. You know, the Emperor's Clothes story is sort of a myth made out of that. And right now, at the end of a millennium, we're lucky because every 1,000 years, things get pretty seriously out of hand. There's a big mythic bubble, sort of like a blister that comes up, and, you know, the end of the world is coming, so repent. In the 900s, the church was telling people, give us your property, you won't need it. Oh, cute. And then came the 1000, January 1st. Wait a minute, I gave the chateau away and we're still here?
Whoa, I made a bad deal.
You know.
Well, what do you think, I mean, from now, what you see now, I mean, I myself am pretty disgusted with the quality of the work that's done today. Why is it that it's gone, you know, to hell in a handbasket so badly?
Which work are you referring to?
I'm talking about the UFO research work, and you know we have
it's
such a
very hard.
We have such a denial. We have such a denial of anything extraordinary, but yet things are happening so rapidly that it point to it.
That's part of it. It's the rapidity that allows people to be inundated, and I think overwhelm is sort of the problem that's facing so many people. And right now, a lot of people are just having to sort their lives out and keep their jobs and take care of their kids. And, you know, how much time have you got for something that is not going to land on the White House lawn? You know, and the alien dissection on television, I didn't even really want to hear that. I've heard various things about it. I didn't see it. I don't know the answer. I think the answer is to be a skilled observer and remember that, wasn't it John the Baptist was looked on as having been a reincarnation of an Old Testament character. The power elite always wants to maintain the uninterrupted flow of power. And truth, as we begin to notice as we get older, is sort of like a virgin at an Elks Club convention or at a Navy gathering. You know? I mean, truth isn't so important, it's power.
What do you think about the notion that the powers that be, if you will, are in contact with some alien species? Do you think that's ridiculous?
Well, if they are, the aliens are certainly showing bad taste in who they hang out with.
I have to agree. Okay, real quick, we got about 30 seconds to wrap this up. You're coming out with another book in August again. It's called...
Michael and I have written a book, which is really an overview. It's called Alien Contact. I'm sorry, Alien Impact.
Okay.
And it's really to help people look at what's happened and what is happening, from cattle mutilations to contactees to just... It's a kind of conversational look at what you need to be thinking about yourself.
Okay. Real good. We're going to have you back sometime. We're going to get Michael on the program.
Michael will entertain you from another perspective because he's...
Well, you've done a pretty good job of entertaining us tonight. I've really enjoyed that.
I haven't thought about this at all, Michael, and you've made me think, and I'm grateful to you, and... gosh, I'm going to call in and see if I can get a T-shirt.
I'm just another cog in the vast machine.
Yeah, well, you're a clean cog. Clean cog.
Well, I'm glad that somebody thinks that.
That'll
Ralph, thank you very much. Again, my guest has been Ralph Bloom. We've been talking about his book, Beyond Earth, Man's Contact with UFOs.
Yeah, and people who haven't looked into the runes might take a look at the Book of Runes, or the Healing Runes. It's James Coburn called the runes a compass for conduct.
Okay. Ralph, thanks a lot. Stay tuned. We'll be right back for closing comments. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet Continuum.
There are many magazines about UFOs.
Continuum is different. Continuum is the official quarterly publication of Paranet and MICAP, and is the outgrowth of Paranet's worldwide communications network on paranormal phenomena. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. It takes a straight-ahead, no-nonsense look at UFOs, worldwide sighting reports, parapsychology, abduction phenomena, futuristic science, and much, much more. You can get Continuum for just $18 a year. Continuum is also available by fax for a small additional fee. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Continuum, published by Paranet Information Services and MICAP. Order yours today at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. Continuum, one of the most fascinating magazines you'll ever read.
Paranet and MICAP, the Multinational Investigations Cooperative on Aerial Phenomena, gives you a chance to hear and read more about UFOs and the paranormal. Catch up on our previous Paranet radio shows, with cassette tapes you can order for $8 each, or two tapes for $6 each, three or more at $5 each. Become a member of Paranet and subscribe to Continuum, Paranet's quarterly magazine. And don't forget our stunning black t-shirt with a background of galaxies, stars, and comets, the Paranet and MICAP logos, and a beautiful blue-green planet Earth. When you order from Paranet, you're helping to support this program. Call now for more information or to order your tapes, Continuum subscriptions, or t-shirts at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Paranet, your window on the universe at 1-800-UFO-NET-1.
UFOs for real, or are they just fiction, or imagination, or disinformation? To find out, stay tuned for more of the Paranet Continuum with your host, Michael Corbin.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed Paranet's Blast to the Past tonight. I want to close the program tonight with a soundbite of the late Dr. J. Allen Hynek, former consultant for many years to the Air Force's Project Blue Book. After spending a majority of his time explaining away cases to the Air Force's satisfaction, Hynek defected and lashed out at the Air Force's lack of interest in cases that did indeed show that something strange was happening. Hynek's going to impart some long-forgotten wisdom on us tonight. Again, this clip is taken from the video UFOs, The Hidden Truth.
The UFO phenomenon is truly a phenomenon of our times. It is an extremely puzzling one and calls forth a wide spectrum of opinions. No matter what one may think about UFOs, no matter what one may believe about them, whether it is all nonsense or whether they represent something very, very real, three facts stand out, three facts which no one can deny. The first is that UFO reports exist. Secondly, that UFO reports come from all over the world. And the third is that many are made by highly responsible people, often scientifically trained. We scientists have no positive proof yet of the origin or even of the reality of these strange reported craft. But we do know the reports themselves are very real. To find the answer to this magnificent scientific puzzle, the UFO phenomenon, we need to approach it with a truly open mind so we can explore all possible avenues of explanation.
And there you have it, some food for thought. One last thing I want to say, too, you know, in light of Ralph's interesting information is that, you know, I think it's very important that we keep one foot firmly planted in the empirical, and we have to also be somewhat open-minded to the paranormal aspect of things and what that could imply. So keep that in mind. We're going to do other programs like this one again, so be sure and stay tuned. Next week, my guest is going to be Dr. Rod Lewis. We're going to talk about the controversial revelation, I should say, about a month ago. I think everybody heard this over the AP, Nightline, and the newspaper, that the government is using trained mentalists to perform remote viewing for defense purposes. Now, on the surface of all this, we hear that remote viewing is a technology of modern science, but Dr. Lewis is going to tell us about some disturbing research that remote viewing is nothing more than an ancient occult technology. In my opinion, this occult technology has been window-dressed with modern-day technological terms and shipped to the unsuspecting public as just another wonderful thing that our military establishment is doing to protect the national interest. Sound familiar? Well, be sure and join us next week and find out how familiar. And one last thing, be sure and call us for the T-shirt giveaway, 1-800-836-2009. During the week, you can call us at 1-800-836-NET1. Until next week, this is Michael Corbin telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.